in our clothes. So if your treasure is clothing, those could be damaged. You could spill something, of course, too, or other things could happen, tearing or whatever. The second one, rust. Rust corrodes metal. It eats away even at precious metals. I was looking up some pictures, and even gold was really damaged by rust, and I was surprised. Some translations say vermin here. Vermin. Wikipedia says that term comes from the Latin vermis. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, sorry. Worm. It was originally used for those worm-like larvae of certain insects, many of which infest foodstuffs. Did you ever look in an old box of food or in a drawer, and all of a sudden you see some stuff in there, and it looks like a worm or what was left by a worm? That all has to be thrown out. You don't want that, right? So it could be different. Vermin could be different things, like lice, cockroaches, rats, things that damage, that destroy. That can happen. How about the third one? It says, where thieves break in and steal. Yes, thieves can break in and steal. Have any of you been victims of theft? Wow, you guys, only a couple of you. Well, years ago, I some of you know, I used to live in the U.S. for quite a while, and I was working with an inner city organization, and we would drive through the neighborhoods of our city. I was living in San Jose, California. We would drive through the city, and we would look, where are the worst neighborhoods? And that's where we wanted to work. So the organization sometimes would buy a house there, or we would rent a house in those. So I lived in places like that. Well, I'll tell you what. My car was broken into. My house was broken into. I remember coming one time, and I came in the front door, and I heard the back door, and someone was going out. Just recently, well, in the last few years, we were visiting back in California, and one of my kids, my youth, he admitted he was that culprit. So I had to learn some hard lessons about possessions. I had to learn that these things that I say are mine, if these are my treasures, if they are my treasures, my heart is going to be there. And I had to learn. This is very painful to lose things that are where your treasure is, right? So I had to, big lessons I learned was not to cling to earthly treasures, but rather to hold things more openly. That way, thinking like, okay, God, this belongs to you, and you're letting me use it. I don't know for how long. So it could be stolen by somebody. I'm just supposed to steward it while you've given it to me. Shortly after we moved back to Canada, we had some money to invest. So we found a Christian man, and he showed us some investments, and we made some investments with that man. Later on, the market had a downturn, and that man, he'd gone. He disappeared, refused to return calls, gone. Treasures can disappear, friends. They can just disappear. There have been other mistakes that I have made when I was single and that we have made together, Anne and I, along life's journey on this particular subject. What about you? Where is your treasure? You could invest in stocks. Stock market can go up. And it can go down. You could buy a fancy car or a truck, but somehow they get old, and sometimes they get scratched, and they can get a ding, and sometimes they rust. You could buy a condo, but the value of condos could go down. You could maybe you are very beautiful. Maybe beauty is sort of your treasure, the most important thing. You could have an accident. Anne's sister had an accident this last year, and a big gash right down the face. What about your reputation? If that is where your treasure is, it can be damaged. Money can be worthless. Did you see the pictures from Zimbabwe? A guy had a had a stack of money, probably about this big to this big and this high, and huge amounts on the bills, and that's what it took to buy a laptop. You know, Venezuela just went through it. Money can just, it can disappear to where they're making, you know, they say it's cheaper, sorry, it's more expensive to print the paper than what the money is not worth that value. So, is sports your thing? You could be injured, and you could lose that all what you thought could come. Or maybe you're a fan of a certain team, and they don't do so well. So what our treasure is, this wants to consume us. It wants to take a lot of our energy, but it can be so fleeting. Children, what about you? I've got a couple girls, and I know that you can collect toys, and you can collect more in the set, and you know, and eventually there could be a lot of toys lying around, and they, after a while, how much do you play with those toys? How much? It seems like the fascination is gone, that it can disappear. Friends, where is our treasure? God can allow anything to happen to us, to catch our attention, to help us to remember not to lay up our treasures on earth. Let's look at just a couple examples of folks who did store up treasures for themselves. Luke chapter 12, feel free to turn over there if you'd like. Luke chapter 12. It's just a couple, few books over. Luke 12, verses 15 to 21. Luke 12, 15 to 21. Remember the story of the rich young man. Then he said to them, this is Jesus, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Got it? Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But the world says it does. So we are always sort of in this challenge of how do we live life in the midst of what the world is saying. Look at verse 16. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Look at verse 1. "Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted. Moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth, heaped up treasure, in other words, in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." Do you see God's warning to people who've had a lot, but look how were they handling it? These people were hoarding it. They were just gathering. It looks like it was just for themselves. They did not pay fair wages to their employees. Their employees were in such trouble that they were crying out to God for help. They were living in luxury and self-indulgence. They were treating people unjustly. And they were going to lose their wealth. So, don't store up treasures on earth, but There's a but in that verse way back in where we started out in Matthew. But store up treasures in heaven. What are the advantages of storing up treasures in heaven? Well, those are listed right there as well. No moths, no rust or vermin, no thieves. Ah, it's a wonderful investment plan. You can't lose with this kind of investment. So my question to you is, how would we store up treasures in heaven? How do we do that? I think 1 Timothy can help us. I'm going to wait while you get to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and disaster. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man, and I would say woman of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. And now I'd like to jump to verse 17. Look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. What do we learn from these verses? It seems like the focus is on God. Focus on following Him, loving God, seeking to live lives that are content with what He has provided, not always needing the newest thing, not always needing to have more. Remembering we can't take any of this with us when we die. Being content with having our basic needs met. Chasing after righteousness. Pursuing faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Not putting our hope in wealth. Putting our hope in God alone. And then doing good. Doing tons of good deeds for others. Being generous, willing to share. I think of needs around us, needs around the world, wherever God would touch our hearts. So, friends, there's only two options where to store your treasures. Here on earth or in heaven. Where are my treasures? Where are your treasures? Where are we storing them up? And another question would be, how can I know where I'm storing my treasures? As I thought about this for myself, I think it has to do with how am I spending my time? What am I spending my energies on? What am I passionate about? What consumes my thinking? Are my energies focused mostly on me or on things that benefit me? Some time ago I heard this saying, the only things that last for eternity are God's word and the souls of people. God's word and the souls of people. So I ask myself, am I focused on temporary things, temporal things, or am I focused on things that will last forever? There's this prosperity, health, and wealth gospel out there now. You've probably heard of it. It says God wants you to be rich. And there's a lot of teachers that follow this teaching, and I have good friends that have followed this even. And it's so sad to me. God wants you to be well. God wants you to be rich. We have to be so careful, friends. They've twisted scripture to make this kind of teaching. There's a very good documentary called American Gospel. If you want to learn more about how and see it exposed. So is God against someone being rich? No. There's many examples of rich people in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all rich. Do you remember Abraham? It says that God would bless him to be a blessing. Now the prosperity people, they say that means financially, okay? I think we believe God was wanting him to be a blessing. I mean, he blessed Lot. Eventually the gospel would come through a descendant of Abraham. You'll remember David was very rich. He said in 1 Chronicles 29, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Solomon, you'll remember, was rich. Job was rich. Remember Joseph in Egypt. In Genesis 41, it says he was commended for storing up. God gave the Pharaoh of Egypt a dream in which Joseph was able to interpret that dream. There would be 7 good years of growing things, and then there would be 7 years of famine where things would not grow. So if in Genesis 41, I'll just read this, I won't wait. It says, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. Was it okay for Joseph to store up? Yes. I think his saving benefited the whole area, Egypt and the whole surrounding part of that of the world there. I imagine he benefited personally, but I don't think that was his focus. Remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was laying up treasure on earth. He was a tax collector. He was very rich. When he met Jesus, do you remember? There was a heart change. That change affected his bank account. And he said, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor, and I'll pay back 4 times whatever I've cheated people of. So I think, yes, riches are not bad. But there are so many warnings in Scripture that we have to be careful. I think God really wants to, if he blesses you somehow with means, then it's to be a blessing to others as well. Jesus tells us in Matthew 13 about various kinds of soils. The soils represent various kinds of heart attitudes within us. I don't know if you remember the seed that was falling among the thorns. It said the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. It said that wealth could be deceitful. How can it be deceitful? Well, do you ever find that you could always use some more? Through life, we could always use more. I think something's there. There's something in that where I always seemingly do not want to be content. Always wanting more. Focusing on ourselves versus other people. I think I need this new thing or whatever. You know, it's so easy for me to justify things. In Mark 10:23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Not impossible. All things are possible with God, but it would be hard. So let's come back to our passage in Matthew 6. It said, no one can serve two masters, in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Brothers and sisters, God is challenging us. This is a pretty strong statement. Where is my treasure? Where is your treasure? And then there's this weird thing in the middle of those verses. I read those first verses and I read the last ones. But in the middle, there's something I thought, this is a totally different thing. It's saying the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? At first, I thought he's moving on to another topic. But then he had come back to that where he's saying you can't serve both God and money. Okay, so that means this has to be linked somehow. What is this about? Well, apparently some people think these words where it says your eyes are healthy, this could mean generous. And when it says unhealthy, that could mean stingy. Well, if that was the case, then if your eyes are healthy, I guess if your eyes are generous, then your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Another meaning, a possible meaning of the word is single. Single. So the idea there would be if you have sort of singleness of purpose. Like if you're focused on God. Imagine if we were following this and our treasures are, we're laying up treasures in heaven. We have that single focus. If that's like our eye, the eye lets light in. If I have no eyes, oh my. So I'm just thinking, if this is so important to God, that this teaching, it's either a light, there's going to be light in our lives, or there's going to be darkness, depending which treasures we're storing up. That's how I'm looking at it. Feel free to correct me later. These verses feel, brothers and sisters, like a very strong challenge to me. This is a very important issue. I cannot serve both God and money. So, if I see clearly on this matter, it's going to affect me in a huge way. If I'm blind on this issue, the darkness is very real and it's a big deal. The chapter goes on to talk about not worrying about things. And then it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Sorry, take the other mic. Sorry, just lost my train of thought here. The chapter goes on to say, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat and drink, what you will wear. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and he will take care of you. I think that's his invitation to us. So friends, even this week, God has been challenging me on this. Recently, we went through a tougher time financially than we have for many years. It was very, very, very close this last month. This last week, I got a phone call from my neighbor. He lived three doors over, and he now lives in Toronto. He's working in BC, and he's been renting out the house. And he said, my renters moved out and told me the key is on the counter. So can you help me? So this was a question now. Okay, he's asking me, will I manage his property for him? And boy, does it ever need cleaning. It was filthy. Ann and I looked at each other like, is this a test? Like, God, are you testing me here? Because I could make some extra money, which would be very, very helpful. Is this a test, or are you providing for my family? You know, so we have to wrestle with these. This is what I wrestled with this week. I don't know what you have to wrestle, but you're going to have to wrestle with these texts in your own way. Like, God will, he'll bring something up where you're going to have to decide, how are you going to follow him, you know, from a text like this. How much is enough? What is the difference between my needs and my wants? These are questions we must wrestle with. Where is your treasure? Where is mine? Where is my heart? Where is your heart? Are we chasing after things more than we are pursuing the things of God? Maybe you are right on target. You are loving God. You're serving him. You're serving others wherever he has placed you. Continue on putting him first in your life. For others of us, maybe God has been speaking to our hearts about where we've been laying up our treasure. I find in my own life that pursuit of money always wants to get me. It always wants to keep coming back. I do want an easier life. I want to be comfortable. I want to be secure when I retire. All of these things are true. So the temptations keep coming. Possibly a prayer found in Psalm 139, the last verses, 23 and 24, could be good for us to pray. I think I'm going to give us a few moments, a few minutes, to be quiet in a little bit, and I'm going to let you talk to God personally, if you would like to ask him to search your heart. This is what it says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's a beautiful prayer that we can pray and ask God, would you do a little x-ray in here? Would you do a little inspection? How am I? And sometimes we have to do it as if you're married, you have to do it with your spouse. If you're single, then you do it alone, I guess. But let's take a few minutes to be quiet and available for God to speak to us. And I want to say, before we do that, if God shows you, I think the priorities are not quite right here. I think a lot of my energy is going to something that is pretty much just for me. If he puts his finger on anything, then I want you to know it's not too late to come back. I want you to know that Jesus came for broken people like me and like you. He said he came for those who were sick. He didn't come for those who were healthy. He came for the one who knew they were in need, and that is me. He died to pay the price for the wrong that you and I have thought and said and done. He came to pay the price for my sinfulness and yours, for my greed and yours, for my putting my own desires ahead of his desires in my life. This is why he died. He gave his life as a substitute for this brokenness, this sinfulness, this selfishness. So if you have never given your life to him, this is an invitation for you. This is a beautiful thing. Imagine every wrong thing you have ever thought, every wrong thing you have ever said or done can be forgiven. Not because of your goodness, because your goodness does not cover your badness. That doesn't work like that in God's way of doing things. The only way is that a perfect one could die for you and become your substitute. That's what Jesus did. That's the beautiful news. We call it the gospel. That's the good news. So if you have never given your life to him, that exchange is offered to you. Give him your sinfulness, your brokenness. Put your trust in Jesus. He died for you. He paid for you. And he came back to life to give you a new life. And for those of us who have made the decision prior to follow him, come back. Come back. Realign. Just like when you've been driving on the road and you hit a curb and your wheel is out of balance, so you need a new alignment or something. That's what the invitation is for us if God is tugging on our hearts. Run to Jesus for forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the beautiful news. So, let's be quiet for a few minutes, and then I'll chat a little bit more with you, and we'll be done. God, would you please speak to our hearts? If there's anything that you would like to say, give us ears to hear and open hearts to understand. God, thank you for your words. Please forgive me where I have allowed greed to want to control things, money. God, would you please root this out, and would you please help me to be about laying up treasures in heaven? Would you work in us, God? Help us to hold each other accountable, walk humbly with you, letting you be number one in our lives. Thank you so much. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.